praise the name of Jesus. In the last few weeks, we've been enjoying the promises of God as Pastor Pablo Mendoza proclaimed so eloquently how God is faithful. He makes promises to us, and we can rest assured that those promises are yea and amen. We can have faith in the word of God. The word of God is God's integrity. That's who he is. He is his word. Amen? And he never reneges on his promises. He never changes his words. So we can trust it. Amen? Hallelujah. In the last part of a series, The Promises of God, Pastor Mendoza spoke about God empowering the believer. Walking in power is the title of the series I'm preaching this for this next two or few weeks, and that you are empowered by the Lord to walk victoriously. God wants his children to be a peculiar people, an individual who, when he or she steps into the room, there is some changes are going to happen. The changes is the demeanor of people, or even effectual changes of conditions in a room. You are walking in the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, and that involves changes. Amen? Because no one can be in the presence of God and still remain the same. Well, I'll tell you something. When the presence of God walks into a room, there is change. And that's what God wants to happen in our lives. We as God's children, when we walk into a room, attitudes change, behaviors change, conversations change. And if there are individuals who are physically challenged, that may change also. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. Let's go in a word of prayer. Oh, precious Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, for the wonderful privilege and pleasure to be in this place to proclaim your gospel. I thank you, Lord, for us being present to hear your word that will not return to you void. I pray, God, that we take your word and we hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against you. We pray, God, that we digest your word so we can proclaim it to others. For it is the power of you to salvation for all who will believe, first the Jews and then the Gentiles. Lord, I pray that you open our minds and our understanding today, that we may receive from you that which you have to impart to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church say, amen. You have your Bibles with you. If you don't have your Bible, there's a Bible right in front of you, under the chair, behind you, beside you. But there's a red one right there to help you out so that you can follow along in Scripture. You know, the Word of God says you do like the Bereans do. The Bereans check the Scriptures daily to see that the things that are said are so. You don't just go into a place where the Word of God is being preached and you swallow what is being said hook, line, and sinker. You might be caught in a rut in that way. Make sure you verify from the Scriptures. The Bible says, test every spirit. So even in this church, even from this pulpit, from this pastor, test every spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. That the things that are said are so. Praise the name of Jesus. So we read from the book of Acts chapter 2. I just want to read the first four verses we start from there. In verse 1 of Acts chapter 2, then the day of Pentecost had fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, such as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house and where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were filled, we were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, such as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus made a proclamation to his disciples. It says in Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all things that I have commanded you, all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And this was Jesus' ministry, and he is passing his ministry into the care of the church. No doubt, if he is passing his ministry into the care of the church, he must equip the church to do a successful work. He must equip the church to be adequately capable of performing the task beforehand. Amen. And to accomplish this commission successfully, the church must adhere to special rules of engagement. It's not just do what you feel like, be what you feel like, go where you feel like. There are rules of engagement to properly execute, hallelujah, the business of God. And Jesus made sure that the church are qualified and capable. Praise the name of Jesus. To qualify, he, Jesus, gave us understanding and ability to discern the things of God. You have to have discernment pertaining to the things of God, and you have to be able to understand the things of God. You see, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, it says, "He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." He opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man is that individual who does not have the Spirit of God living on the inside. The natural man is what we consider to be the world. The natural man is the individual that is an unbeliever, one who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Here is what the scripture says about such a person. It says, "The natural man does not receive the things of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The scripture is saying, in order to fully grasp the truth of God's word, without you implementing your own insight or understanding, but in order for you to understand the words as God says it, the Spirit of God is that which reveals the truth to you. It is revealed the truth by way of the Holy Spirit of God. We qualify because we who were once spiritually dead were made alive by his Holy Spirit, in accordance to Ephesians 2:5 and Colossians 2:13. The Bible tells us that Jesus removed our heart of stone and he replaces it with one of flesh and place his Spirit in our spirit and cause us to follow his status, in accordance to Ezekiel 36:25-27. In other words, being spiritually dead, Jesus made a complete transformation, a new individual, because he takes out that spiritually dead spirit, that dead spirit, and replaces it with a brand new spirit. And this brand new spirit, he takes his spirit and places on the inside of that spirit, giving that new spirit a new life and new nature. The Holy Spirit is the life and nature of God. He gives you a new life and a new nature. This is the reason why the scriptures tells us that if we be in Christ, we are what? A new creation. Hallelujah. Behold, the old has gone. It's no longer in existence. Behold, all things are now new. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, this is the first step. God is so awesome. He knew that if we were spiritually dead, we could never accomplish his business. Because the only way to successfully navigate the business of God is by way of the Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. So he decided that in order for us to complete his business successfully, we need to become a new creation. He make us new, a new man, one that has the life and nature of God on the inside. Praise the name of Jesus. Our born-again spirit, the Bible tells us about this, about our born-again spirit, the new you. I have always explained this, but it never gets old because we need to fully grasp this. Many in the church world has not really fully grasped this equation. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Oh, hallelujah. So let's continue. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, our born-again spirit, the real you, have the mind of Christ and desire to do God's will. So the real you have the mind of Christ. The same as Christ's mind is, that's inside of you. For the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you. Amen? So all we need to do is to bring our unrenewed mind. What is the unrenewed mind? Your intellect. This mind. Not the mind of Christ, which is in your spirit, but your unrenewed mind. Your intelligence. Your ability to choose, to make the right choice. God has given to each and every one of us the freedom of choice. And all we need to do is to bring our unrenewed mind and our born-again spirit in agreement with the indwelling Spirit of God. Oh, hallelujah. So when your mind is in agreement with the Holy Spirit, oh, hallelujah, everything is good. Because now you are walking in the Spirit. Now you are living by the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Now you are in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because now you are walking according to the Word of God. You see, the Spirit of God says, I do not testify of myself, but I only testify what I hear the Father say. That is the Word of God. Father say, Word. Amen. And so when we come in agreement with the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside, oh, hallelujah, we are walking in the Spirit of God. Amen. Being born again, our spirit is already in agreement with the Holy Spirit. But our mind needs to be renewed to the Word of God. And how is this done? It is done by instructions given to us in the scriptures. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 gives us this instruction. As a matter of fact, verse 1 and verse 2 gives us instruction. Verse 1 tells us that we do with our bodies. What do you do with your bodies? Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Romans. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Romans chapter 12. And verse 1. Praise the name of Jesus. First person who reads it, read it for me. Hallelujah. 12, verse 1. Romans 12, verse 1. Do we have somebody who have reached it? Verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, first rule of engagement, your body is not your own anymore. You see, Christ paid for you. He bought you with a price. Hallelujah. So now your body belongs to Christ. But if you love him, you will make a decision concerning that body of yours. You use it to bring honor and glory to God. You just don't go out there and do anything with it. Hallelujah. Because it belongs to the Lord. And verse 2 says, and do not be conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world. Are you a child of God? Do you believe that you are born again believer? Then there needs to be a change in the way you think. There needs to be a change in the way you act. There needs to be a change in the decisions that you make. You see, the world around us is full of influences. It starts from just the basics. It's full of influences. And people generally walk according to the influence around them. But you see, the Bible has said something concerning you. It says, you are in this world, but not of this world. In other words, you have been set aside by God for a special purpose. You are a peculiar people. You're an individual who is a citizen of a different kingdom, and that's the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You are ambassadors of Christ. In other words, you are representative of Christ. Like a man who is an ambassador of the United States to the Middle East, he goes and he stands and he sits and he negotiates on behalf of the United States. And he is an powerful individual while he's on his post, because the wealth and the power, military power, and the influence of the United States is backing him. Imagine, you are now an ambassador of Christ. That means all of God's power is backing you up. Hallelujah. You can't get a better backing than that. Amen. But being an ambassador of Christ, you must present to the world around us things pertaining to God. You can't act any kind of way, because that might not be of God. You can't go out there showboating in a manner that is unbecoming of a child of God, cursing people out, stealing, cheating, being dishonest in your conversation and in your dealings. No, you ambassadors of Christ, to walk in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, you must carry yourself in the way Jesus carried himself. Jesus carried himself with authority, but he carried himself with humility, honesty, compassion, mercy, forgiving. Jesus has demonstrated to us the way he wants us to walk on a daily basis. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. No, he is worthy to be praised. Amen. He is worthy to be praised. Be not conformed to the pattern of this world. Do not let the world influence you. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, by getting into the word of God and see what God has to say about the way he wants you to act. Oh, hallelujah. And if God says, forgive one another, you must forgive. If God says, humble yourself, you must humble yourself. If God says, show mercy, you show mercy. God also is saying something great for us. He is giving us power and authority. And I don't want you to let that get to your head. He's going to teach you how to use power and authority without it getting to your head. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Word of God teaches us how to do that. That's why the Scripture says, renew your mind to the Word of God, so that when people see you, they see Christ in you. You are proving that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You are proving that the Word of God is true. You are proving that the Word of God is the power of God to salvation for all who will believe. And this word salvation doesn't only necessarily mean that they are saved or born again. It means to set them free. The Word of God is able to set them free from their circumstances, from their situations, from their predicament. It is able to set them free and allow them to experience a peace that passeth all understanding. In the face of adversity, in the face of persecution, the Word of God is the power of God to salvation for all who will believe. First, the Jews. We are engrafted into the family of Jews. And then the Gentiles, talking about those individuals who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Word of God has the power to bring freedom to all men. You are carrying the Word of God on the inside of you. Even better yet, the Bible says a man who hears the Word of God and does not do what it says is like a man who looks at himself in the mirror, see what he looks like, turn around, and forget what he looks like. In other words, the Scripture is saying that when it comes to you and the Word of God, when I see you, I see the Word of God. When I see you, I see a person with humility. When I see you, I see a person full of compassion, a person that is honest. When I see you, things change. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, I've experienced, you know, walked into a room and you hear all this obscenity. Oh, I'm so sorry. They're apologizing to me. I'm so sorry. Why? Because they knew who I was. They knew who I am. I am a man of God. But they will only know if you are a man of God if you carry yourself like a man of God or a woman of God. Oh, do you hear what I'm saying? Praise the name of Jesus. So this is what God wants us to do. And Jesus made us capable by giving to us two things, authority and power. Jesus said that all authority has been given to him both on earth and in heaven. So when we exercise our authority, the power within us who is manifested by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. When you exercise your authority, that power that lives on the inside of you manifests itself and in the name of Jesus. You remember Peter and John? They were on their way to the temple to pray. And as they walk, enter by the gate called Beautiful, they saw the beggar. And the beggar stretched out his hands to beg for money. And they stopped and looked at him. And they says to him, look at us. Come on, pay attention to us. Silver and gold I do not have. We don't have physical plenty. But what we have, we will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rise up and walk. And the man, the Bible tells us that strength gets into his ankle bones. And he got up on his feet. And he went walking. And he went leaping. And he was praising God. And everywhere that Peter and John went, he followed, walking and leaping and praising God. Well, the people around knew that this was a beggar by the gate, and they knew, but by the hands of Peter and John, this man was made whole. So they all come running to Peter and John. They run to Peter and John. And this is where the Lord teaches us not to let it get to our heads, because there are many Christians who believe they're better than other people because they are a child of a living God. You must stop that. Don't let it get to your head. All glory and honor goes to God. So his people rushed to Peter and John, and Peter and John recognized why they were coming. I tell you something. When you walk in the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit, people will come to you, and they will want to find answers. And they will come to you and says, Pablo. See, they might may not even call them Pastor Pablo. They may just say, Pablo. You see, they say, Sharon. They may just say, Egbert. It doesn't really matter. How do I get out of this problem? The reason why they come to you, because they see that you are not just some ordinary Tom, Dick, and Harry. You have a special thing about you that accomplishes goals that are able to take them out of their predicament. And so the people came running to Peter and John. Everybody is self-centered in the world. The nature of the natural man is self-centeredness. He wants to satisfy and gratify the cravings of his flesh. It's me, my shadow, and I. That's the way of the world. If I'm going to give charity, I want to receive praise for it. I want to receive recognition for it. If I am going, I want somebody to say, well, that Egbert, he's a nice guy. That's the way of the world. But Peter and John stopped them, and they said to them, men of Israel, why do you suppose that it is by our power whereby this man is made whole? But by, hallelujah, but by faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you saw before you is made whole. They took all the glory and gave it to the right person. They received nothing for themselves. It's not about you. We sing the song, it's all about you, Jesus. Yes, then live like that. It's about Jesus. It's not about you, Pastor Pablo. It's not about me, Sister Brenda. It's about Jesus. So when we live our lives, that's how we demonstrate that it is about Jesus. Now that, you got to work at it. You got to work at it. Don't believe, but because you are a child of God, it comes automatically. The Bible tells us that the flesh and the spirit is at enmity with one another. There is always a battle going on. There is always a battle going on. But when you renew your mind to the word of God and you hide it inside your heart, the Bible tells us that you will not sin against God. Because you have decided in your mind that I am going to live according to the dictates and mandates and principles of God's word. Oh, hallelujah. Now, walking in power, it has much to do with God giving you power and authority and making you into the person that will walk victoriously, and you walking in obedience. You yielding yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Yielding yourself to the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. And here Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You need not be afraid. God has promised that he will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And if Christ is for you, who can be against you? Amen? And he has given you authority over the little things and the big things. The little things like scorpions and serpents. Those are the little things. And then considered to be the big things are the power of the adversary. But my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's just a cloud of sham. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to explain that to you in a little while longer. And you will understand who you are in Christ. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, he calls his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure all diseases. These are supernatural works, and they were called signs and wonders. Witnessing with signs and wonders is God's way of demonstrating that to the unbelieving world that indeed we are of God. Oh, hallelujah. Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, stood before Israel and said, remember who this Peter was now. This Peter was the same guy when a little servant girl come up to him and said, you are with Christ, and he denied the Lord. And he denied the Lord 3 times before the rooster crows. He denied the Lord. But on the day of Pentecost, being filled with the Spirit of God, being under the influence of the Spirit of God. You know, it's like a man who is drunk with alcohol. I don't know who used to drink in this place, but I tell you, I never did. But he knew that when you drink too many alcohol, you're not the same. Things change. You talk differently. You walk differently. You think differently. You act differently. Is that truth? Anybody who's been drunk before? Well, to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you talk differently. You act differently. You walk differently. You think differently. And this is how God wants us to get to. This is the place. This is part of his rules of engagement. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And here, Peter, being full of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, stood before Israel and said, this is boldness now. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles and signs and wonders, which God did through him in your midst. In other words, he's saying to them, God validated his son Jesus through signs and wonders so that you can know that he is the real deal. You remember the story when the individual was sick and Jesus was teaching in his house and the crowd came around bringing their sick. They heard about Jesus. You know, when we hear there is a sale going on, everybody rushes to it. When you hear that there is healing going on, everybody who wants to be healed comes. Well, they brought their friend to Jesus' house, and they could not get in because the crowd was too thick. Just one small door. But somebody was wise enough to say, tell you what, if we can't go in laterally, let's go from the top. So they raised the man. You know, at the back of the house, there might be nobody there, so they could get to it. And they raised the man to the roof. And they let him down through the roof, and God saw their faith. Jesus saw their faith. You know, hook, I don't care how he makes it, I am going to get to Jesus. I'm going to look to Jesus. I'm going to trust Jesus. And that's the way we should be thinking. Amen? That's the way we think. I don't care what's going on around me, I'm going to look to Jesus. I don't care what's happening in my life financially, I'm going to look to Jesus. I don't care what happened to me physically. I'm going to look to Jesus. If my back is hurting me, my legs is hurting me, if I'm experiencing arthritis, I'm going to look to Jesus because he is the healer. Hallelujah. He is the deliverer. He is the provider. Amen? Hallelujah. He is the protector. Hallelujah. He is a friend. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. So they let the man down into the courtyard of Jesus, and he was there teaching, and he saw their faith. And Jesus said to the man that was crippled, he says, your sins are forgiven. Well, of course, I want you to understand something that's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. You're going to have people who will say negative things about you because you try to walk in the light. People are going to call you a Jesus freak. They're going to call you all kinds of names. I don't want to hear none of this religious stuff. You know, let us talk about the Lakers instead. I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. I don't want to hear about nothing about healing. They don't want to hear these things. The world doesn't want to hear these things. Why? Because the scripture says it is foolishness to them. You see? They can't discern the reality of it. So here, the religious leaders that was around saw and heard what Jesus said. Your sins are forgiven. Knowing, being religious, they have read the scriptures, and they recognize that only God can forgive sin. And so they thought Jesus was blaspheming. Who is this man who thinks he can forgive sin? Only God can forgive sin. Well, I want you to tell you something. I want you to know something. When Jesus gives you authority, don't care what people say, you must believe you have the authority because he gives it to you. Jesus said to those religious leaders, well, which is easier to say? Sir, your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk? You see, I thought about that. Which is easier for us to say to an individual out there? For most Christians, it's easier to say, hey, I just talked to you. If you become a born-again believer, your sins are forgiven. It's easy to say that. I don't have to show no accountability to it. I can't touch it. I can't prove it. I can just say to you, your sins are forgiven. But Jesus is giving us the easier one. This is easier. Since only God can forgive sin, this is easier. Sir, take up your bed and walk. Oh, hallelujah. For us, it may seem more difficult because our mind is not yet fully renewed to the fact and reality that we have the power of God living on the inside of us. We have to stop seeing things from a physical perspective and see things from God's perspective. We are prone to see things from a physical perspective. Only what the limitations that we have, we can only see so far. But God is unlimited. This is just the beginning, folks, in walking in power. This is just the beginning. God wants, Jesus has taught us how to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said, when you pray, how many of us in this room prays? Say amen. It sounds like everybody pray. But do you know how to pray? To affect changes? To really affect changes. So many times I've heard believers says, man, I prayed and I prayed and I feel like I prayed till the cows come home and nothing happened. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you have received and that which you ask is yours. You see, the problem about believing that you have received, it is in the past tense. And if you are praying for that your body be healed, it's difficult to pray that you have received when you can see the sores on your hands, when you can feel the pain in your back, when the doctor's report says that you have a cancer on your lungs, when you've heard many people says with this disease you're surely to die. It's difficult to pray that you have received when the physical world around us is telling us that this is the truth. This is the reality. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. When you have renewed your mind to take God at his word, oh, hallelujah, then the word of God will manifest itself in your physical life. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God does everything in the spiritual. All you need to do is to believe that you have received. And then with corresponding action, walk into that belief. Remember Joshua taking the army of God to Jericho. And here is this big, thick walls of Jericho. It's impenetrable. You cannot breach it. And Jericho felt very saved. And then God said to Joshua, see, I have, past tense, delivered Jericho into your hands. No, I was Joshua, and I looked up and says, where you delivered Jericho? Can't you see that big wall in front of me? You have delivered him into my hands, and we can't even get close to it? You see, when you take God at his word, and you apply corresponding action to it, things begin to change. The truth begins to be revealed. Joshua took God at his word, followed his instruction, marched around the walls of Jericho, which seems a little bit redundant, and then at the end gave a big shout as if though he's a military man. To win a battle, you got to use your sword. You got to fight. Some kind of aggression got to go. Nobody wins a battle by shouting. But that's what God says to do. To the natural mind, it may seem implausible. But by faith, oh, hallelujah. Faith, brothers and sisters in Christ, pleases God. And then they shout, and the walls came tumbling down. And Jericho was delivered into the hands of Joshua and his military might. It's the same in our walk in the power of God. Believe that you have received, and that which you ask is yours. So when you pray tomorrow, when you pray tonight, and you ask the Lord to deliver you, or you ask the Lord to provide, or you ask the Lord to show you the path, or you ask the Lord on behalf of another individual, believe that you receive, and that the scripture says God hears the prayers of his children and he answers it. Amen? Give the Lord a hand. We're going to walk in the power of the Lord. In the next few weeks, you will be strong in the power of the Lord. It will be in your mind, and it will be in your action. It will be in your life, and you will begin to see changes happen in your life. Changes you never thought could ever happen. Amen? Praise the name of Jesus. And I believe it is true. I've seen miracles happen, and just by the words that come out of my mouth, words that come out of my wife's mouth, word that comes out of brothers and sisters' mouth, because they believe. It can't happen if you don't believe. You must believe. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Walking in power. Hallelujah. Let's all stand.